Well, if you were looking for inspiration this week or this morning, I suggest that you stand on the street for a few minutes this morning before the service. There were 38,000 people participating in races this weekend in Ottawa. That is mind-boggling. And to stand, I was at coffee after the 8 o'clock service and trying to cross the street. I said to someone, there's a bad joke here, why did the priest not cross the road? Because I couldn't get across because of the numbers of people who were running down our street. How inspiring is that? I used to run, I will run again one day, once this arm of mine heals, but to watch those people, the dedication, the time, the effort that goes into all of that to get yourself to that start line, let alone maybe to get to the finish line. What inspiration. How amazing is that? And I think about the disciples and how much inspiration they must have needed. It took Jesus 3 years to gather people around him to try to make a difference in our world. 3 years is quite a long time for recruiting. And he was charismatic, and he was approachable, and he was difficult. And yet he gathered people to him by preaching and teaching and healing, and indeed made a great difference on the world. And yet, imagine the enthusiasm the disciples had at the beginning of that race with Jesus. We're going to change the world. We're going to make it. We're going to do something different here. And after 3 years of hard work, of being called simply, drop your nets, follow me, and they did. They did. That's how inspired they were. After 3 years of all that, for him to be killed and buried and gone. And even raised, but no one could find him for a number of days. What would that have felt like? I can imagine that they felt abandoned, betrayed, and bereft. Just like all of us do, whenever something in our life that we have worked hard for, that we have believed in, that we have dedicated ourselves to, doesn't happen, at least not the way we expect it to. We feel abandoned, betrayed, and bereft, individually at times and as a community. And then Jesus reappeared. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be a little suspect. That friendship, that relationship, would have been hard for me to reconnect with. That's happened, of course, I'm sure to you and to me in our own lives, where you've had a good friend and something has happened, whether distance or time or an incident has meant you have become unconnected, and something happens to bring you together. And whether that actually re-happens, that spark takes again, well, you never know. You never know if it will or not. And here, Jesus comes back and starts appearing to the disciples again, and they're more than a little doubtful. They're more than a little suspect. And why would they not be? And he only had 40 days to try and re-recruit them. That's not very long. 40 days, we hear, where he went out and showed them his wounds and his hands and his side, and ate bread with them, and he encouraged them and talked to them. Now imagine what Lazarus might have done. He might have said, Jesus' good friend Lazarus might have said, yeah, that's right, you died and you rose again, so did I, whippy. Whippy. What difference did that make? I'm living my life, so are you. Why should we believe it will make a difference? But they did. Because if they hadn't, we wouldn't be hearing about the stories that we hear. We wouldn't be here. And so that trust and hope was recreated, reignited. And I can imagine the runners right about now, some of them, by me it would have been about half an hour ago, like 10 minutes after I started. I would need a reignition. I would need something, some hope, some to re-inspire me. And so Jesus says, well, you're not alone. I'm going to give you someone, another advocate, not just me, not just the Creator, but the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a bit sort of hard to grasp, don't you find? Sort of hard to get. Because we don't have proof. Imagine the disciples, they had at least proof. Jesus was standing right there in front of them. He could touch them, he could feel them. And then to say that there's going to be this amorphous kind of thing helping you out, I don't know that I would have believed either. But, and even in this day and age, the Holy Spirit gets a bad reputation. You know, those crazy people who speak in tongues and do all those un-Anglican things, you know, like speak out loud and so on and so forth. And they say they're moved by the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, a gift of the Holy Spirit, but not all of us recognize it. This week, I was in Minneapolis this past week, which is why I may seem a little tired this morning. In Minneapolis at 5 days, and this is kind of abhorrent to some of you, of preaching. In four and a half days, I listened to 18 lectures or sermons, the shortest of which you will be happy to know is 20 minutes. And the longest was an hour. Needless to say, we needed a bit of reignition, and on Wednesday afternoon, we went to the Mall of the Americas just to have a little break from all those sermons. But the Holy Spirit was there, and it was an amazing thing to experience. There were 1,800 preachers from across North America and other countries gathered together in Minneapolis, and we met in two churches. One church, the Lutheran church, held 3,000 people. The Presbyterian church held 1,500. And we were to choose each day which lineup to go and see. And they were amazing preachers. Hopefully I will be inspired for the next year from what I heard. But what an experience to hear and see 1,800 people from every walk of life, every denomination, every part of the country and the world gathering together for one reason, to celebrate the proclamation of God's Spirit. Now, some of it I loved, some of it not so much, much like how we get a handle on the Holy Spirit. Some of it was easy to relate to, some of it was Anglican, for heaven's sakes, and some of it was very Black Baptist. And it was amazing in its own way. But to watch the crowd and to see how each of us were affected differently, to see how some responded with amens and alleluias. I mean, I don't preach this way, but you know, there were lots of sermons where, can I get an amen? And you chuckle, but there it was, amen. I said, I'm even saying amen instead of amen by the end of the week. So we talk about the Spirit being hard to grasp, and yet there's an example, two examples this morning. Those racers out there, the Spirit in the conference of preachers. The Holy Spirit speaks truth to our hearts, even when we aren't maybe sure about how it comes to us. The Holy Spirit is able to sort of just jump in when we least expect it, and speak two things, really, truth and relationship. The truth of God in whom we live and move and have our being. The truth of God in whom we can do more than we can ask or imagine. And the relationship we have with God and with others. In John's gospel, the phrase to know means to be in relationship. It doesn't just mean intellectual knowing, it means to actually know a person. And the Holy Spirit gives us those two things, truth and relationship. And so when I stood on the sidewalk this morning and watched those runners go by and heard the crowd cheering, the relationship was astonishing to see, because they were running with each other, even though they're running against each other, it's a race. But people were helping each other and cheering each other on, and the amazing pace bunnies with the ears and things, you know, that tell people how fast they should be going. And people on the streets, those of us on the front steps, and all of those from all over to cheer those people on. If that's not a speaking of truth and relationship, what a great example of that. And to see denominations from all over gathered together, even though we weren't all comfortable at all times, to be able to share in the love of the gospel and to share in the love of the Spirit of truth and relationship for 5 days, to go to the pub together, to walk the streets of Minneapolis, to share stories, to keep those relationships up. What a great gift. And so here in this parish, you know, we've been through times too where we've felt like the apostles and the disciples abandoned, betrayed, and bereft. But the spirit of truth and the spirit of relationship has still always been here. It hasn't left, maybe in hiding for a little while. Maybe it didn't feel like the way you wanted it to feel, and maybe it doesn't now. But it doesn't mean that the spirit, the advocate, our friend, our guide, is not here. You see, truth and relationship are great gifts, but they're also pretty scary. Truth spoken in God's grace can cut through a whole lot of our defenses. And relationship that challenges us to look at each other a little differently and not to take things for granted can also really bring us up short at times. And like the disciples, it might take us more than 40 days. It might. We've got more time than that. But it's good to know that Jesus gave us that gift and that it hasn't left us and that it is here even when we don't know that it's here. And we don't have to raise our hands. You don't have to say amen. And you don't have to do something that's not you. But in order to answer the call of God, we have to answer in whatever way that is, for us individually and us as a community. So I'm not going to ask all of you to run the marathon next year. I'm not going to expect all of us to go to the preaching conference next year. But I hope and expect and pray that all of us will learn about the spirit of truth in our lives and also that we will relate to one another in that spirit and in the spirit of God, which inspires us every day in our world. Amen.